bless our church. That's evangelistic. And I think the church is not evangelistic. It ain't really church.
I may be wrong.
I've always got a lot of stuff. I'm just convinced. The only reason why we're here is to be the hands and the feet and the eyes and the mouth of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ to finish the work. Yeah, that's what I believe. That's what we're here for. We're here to be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ so that He can finish the work of getting the gospel out and reaching souls. And that's the reason why Paul can say what he did about which means I can save some. Well, we know he couldn't save anybody, but he was talking about Christ using him to reach souls, to save souls. We're looking at the Holy Spirit of God, and we're still in the war. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. This is a pulling down of strongholds. And except the Spirit is doing the work, you know, it's all in vain. I don't care. I don't care how hard you work. If it isn't the Spirit of God in the direction of the Spirit of God that's doing the work, it's all in vain. If you want to take your Bibles, we're going back to John, John chapter 14, and I got 1, 2, 3, 4 statements I'm going to make today, and that's all I'm going to go over today. But we're going to be looking at each four of these statements, and if you look at 4 in the Bible, it has to do with judgment. Oftentimes has to do with judgment and with power. With judgment and with power. There were 4 horns on the altar. 4 horns on the altar. There's four points on the compass. And if you look at that four, often it has to do with God's judgment and with God's power. When it speaks of oftentimes when the Bible talks about a kingdom or a king, it's referred to as a horn. And you look at that 4 horns on the altar, and here I got 4 things about the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God has come into the world to judge. He's judging. He gives discernment. He helps you to be able to make righteous judgment. Without the Spirit of God, you know, we wouldn't know up from down. And as far as the things of God, only the Spirit of God can teach us. I don't care how good the Bible teacher is. It don't matter difference how good the pastor is, except the Spirit of God move upon the hearts of the people. They can't learn anything because the Spirit of God is what teaches. The Spirit of God guides, directs. And that's what we're going to look at in Romans 14. I'm going to begin reading in verses 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you? Talking about Philip. Philip says, Show us the Father. And Jesus said, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? That's interesting, isn't it? We know many times Jesus prayed to the Father, right? You know, he prayed to the Father. But now he's saying, Have I been so long time with you, and you have not known me? He said, you're looking at the Father. You're talking to the Father. I don't know. I mean, maybe that amazes me when I really think about it. Jesus said, Not my will, but thine be done. But now he's saying, what? Right here he's saying, Have I been so long time with you, and you have not known me? Philip, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, Show us the Father? He said, Well, you looking right at him. Now, I can't explain that. Maybe you can. I just believe it. Can't explain it, but I believe it. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Lord, he's saying, you're looking at the Father because the Father's in me. Amen? And if you was looking at the Father, you'd have been looking at the Lord Jesus Christ too, because Christ was in him. Now, keep that in mind. You have no problem believing that, right? We believe what the Bible says. We believe that to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ was to look upon the Father of all, right? God the Father. To look upon the Lord Jesus Christ was to look upon God the Father. We have no problem believing that. And he says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now see, that's interesting too. Because the Bible said everything that Jesus Christ did, he did through what? The Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that done the works. But now Jesus is saying that it's the Father that doeth the works. So if you got the Spirit of God, who else is there? Yeah, you got Christ, you got God the Son, you got God the Father, you got God the Holy Spirit. They're one, they're not divisible. The only time you find the Godhead divisible was when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And he was cut loose. He was cut away. He was circumcised by God, cut loose. He was condemned. He was punished for the sins of the world. So, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And to me, that, again, that's a verse that amazes me. But I still believe it. Believe me. I can see him imploring them. He said, I want you to believe this. I want you to get this in your head and believe it's true. Because sometimes I think we find it impossible to believe. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. We know things that are true sometimes, but I don't think we really, it's kind of on the surface. We haven't really got it deep down inside of us. We don't really believe it to the point where it can really make a great difference. We're oftentimes like that guy when Jesus said, believest I am able to do this, and I can hear his heart. It groaned. He said, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Huh? You ever been there? You ever felt like that? Said, I believe you, God, but I don't think I believe you like I need to believe you. I feel like I'm not sure that I'm believing you like you want me to believe you. And I see Jesus, he's trying to say to them, believest thou this? Well, did they? If they did, how come all of a sudden after they come and arrest him, they scattered to the four winds? Yeah, that's right. And they failed, didn't they? Their belief was not strong enough. That's the reason why it's got to be the faith of the Son of God in you. Because the Bible said all men have not faith. We don't have faith. Faith is a product of the Spirit of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and without it, there is no faith at all. None. This world likes to talk about faith, and they ain't got a clue what faith is. They think it's something that you, it's when you believe something without any evidence. You know what I'm saying? You kind of hope it's true, so yeah, you say, I believe that, and that's faith. No. Faith, it has the evidence. It's evidence of things not seen. Amen? And it's substantial. It'll hold you up. It's got a frame to it. It says right here, he said, and he's imploring them, believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. For else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He's trying to give them, he's sowing seed into them. He's telling them, he said, look, you're going to do works greater than I've done. And I think he would have us to believe that. That we could do works greater than what Jesus Christ did when he was upon this earth. When he finished his ministry, who was with him? Who stood with him? All his disciples had fled. And the only people that came back was the women. And the disciples was out there hiding in the crowd. Except for John. Right? God doesn't want that for his believers. He wants us to be bold as a lion. He wants to be like the world on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit had come upon them, where they stood right in the midst of all those that was wanting to kill and destroy this way. And they stood up and stood and declared the truth of God. Now, we're living in a day and dark clouds around us, and buddy, it's trying to smother the truth. It's trying to they're trying to ridicule. They laugh. They're laughing at the church. We don't see physical persecution in this country, but you know what you do here? Laughter. They laughing at us. They think we got no... y'all, you bunch of Bible thumpers, y'all don't know nothing. You think you know something, but you don't know nothing. What we need is revival. What we need is the boldness of the Spirit of God come upon the church as it did in the days of Pentecost. And the thing that we need to really get a hold of, I was coming in the church yesterday after we run a Bible club, and I was talking with a young lady. We was talking about things, and I said, I don't understand sometimes why people are this way. And that I was saying that, it's like God said, because you can't see. You can't see very good. You don't have a whole lot of vision. You can't see things like they are, like they really are. And, you know, sometimes I don't think we really see the fact that all of the power of God is living in us. I think we forget that. We do believe that God lives in us, right? Part of Him? So then, if all of God dwells in us, all the power that belongs to God, it indwells in us. So if that power isn't coming out, there's a reason, right? Other week while I was in vacation, I went to hear a guy preach, and he talked about when Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, you know, those sayings, and he gets to that point and he said, it is finished, and the veil of the temple was rent, and that great earthquake, and sky turned dark, and the veil of the temple, and it was rent from top to bottom, it was torn open. Ripped open. He said, that's what we need. You know? I said, God, it was inside. You look at this. He said, God was in there behind that veil, because if His presence had come upon men, what would it have done to them? It would have killed them, wouldn't it? It would have killed them. It would have killed them all. You say, why? Because they were sinners. God in His perfection would have looked upon it and just eradicated. So that veil was there as a protection. He said, but when Christ died and He died for the sins of the world, that thing was rent from top to bottom and God came out. He said, that's what we need today. See, you got a veil in your heart. You've read that before. It's over in Romans, isn't it? I think it's in Romans. The veil of your heart. He said, you remember where the Lord said, rend your heart and not your garments? Huh? What we need is some heart rending, tearing open our hearts and letting the Holy Spirit of God out loose in this world. Moving. We're to be a conduit for the Spirit of God to move through us out to lost sinners and see God in us. See, he said, believest thou this? And God is just showing us. You don't see things a lot of times like you ought to. He reminded me of that fellow where Jesus anointed his eyes and he washed him clear. And he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. And I think that's the way we are a lot of times. Now, and he reminded me of King David. When he went out there and fight Goliath. Okay, all them people, that they were sitting there and they was trembling. They were sitting there trembling. You know what I mean? Scared to death of one man. Kind of reminds me of that old lady that stood up and said no more prayer in school. Yeah. She changed everything. And where was the church? Sitting there trembling. What do we do? But here they was, trembling. The people of God. God's chosen. One man walks out here. A big man, no doubt. I asked somebody if they remember the giant that came here. Do y'all remember the giant that came to our church, over to old church? You remember? Any of y'all remember him? He came and he taught out in the junior church. Big old rascal. You remember him, Jim? Big old guy. He weighed like 450 pounds. He wasn't that tall. He was like 6 foot four. He might have been 6'5". He wasn't real tall, but he was about this wide. 400 some pounds. Had a hand, but he was like that. And he was just a man, though. David looked out there. He saw a man cussing his God. But all them other people, they said, he's been a warrior since his youth. And they were afraid of him. They weren't seeing things. They weren't seeing things through the eyes of God. David was seeing things through the eyes of the Spirit of God. He said, he's just a man. He said, he's a man. He's cussing your God. What you going to do, David? He said, Lord, you use me. I'll go out there and I'll take him down. I'm not going to be afraid. He also reminded me, remember old Elisha? When the Syrian army, they come to take him because he was tattling on the king of Syria. Every time he tried to do some warfare, God come and tattle on him, tell him what he was going to do, and he'd go tell the king of Israel, and they would stop his plans. He said, who, you know, the king of Syria said, who's betraying us? Who's telling on us? Who amongst us is doing it? He said, it ain't us, king. He said, it's old Elisha down there. He said, he hears everything you say in your bedchamber and through his God, and he's the one that's doing it. He said, where's he at? He said, he's in Dothan. He said, go get him. And they sent out, man, a big old host, a whole army to go get one fella. Huh? Would be to God it would take a whole army of this world to come and for one of us. Amen? Send a big old army out there to go get him, right? Chariots, horses, horsemen. Hundreds, maybe thousands of men. They was camped all the way around the city. Pretty good crowd come out there to take that one man. And boy, and servant of the Lord gets up in the morning and walks out there and washes the boogers out of his eyes, gets him a cup of coffee, and looks out there on the hills, and what does he see? Oh, my goodness! We in trouble. Man, look at all that. And he comes running here and says, oh, man of God, man of God. He said, there's an army out here. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And he says, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. open his eyes that he can see. God ain't changed, people. But we've forgotten that somehow or another. We forgot that. God ain't changed. He said, open his eyes and see. He said, there's more for us than there is against us. And I'm going to tell you, hey, one man with one God is a majority. Amen. The hosts of heaven, I don't know how many they are, do you? Myriads of them. Whose side are they on? Amen. And one of them, at the command of God, could take out all of the host of hell. But we forget this. He said, believe us out of this. Sometimes I don't think we're seeing what God wants us to see. And he opens up his eyes, and what did he see? He saw the host of heaven. He saw the armies of God camped out all across the hills, thousands upon thousands, and chariots of fire. Amen. Well, that's probably kind of impressive. Amen. Seeing that soldier of God there, man, brandish that sword, you know. Man, that thing he's sitting on ain't nothing but it's a fiery chariot. Amen. I don't know. Them horses might have been on fire. I don't know. All I know, buddy, is it changed everything. Changed everything. He opened his eyes. He could see. You know what? I don't think he was afraid after that. He said, oh, boy, it's going to get on. I've seen God. I've seen God move. Seen the power. And God has shown me, you know, sometimes I just don't see like I ought to. I forget things. I forget sometimes who it is that lives in me. We need to be reminded. Remind ourselves from time to time. That's really why we need to stay in the book. We need to read and study and let the Word of God, because the Spirit of God takes the Word of God. Look here. Yeah. Amen. He, verily, verily, I say to he that believeth on me, the works that I do, greater works than these shall he do, because I go into my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You ever ask anything in God's name that he didn't do? If you did, it's because you asked wrong. You asked amiss. Because if you really ask in the name of Jesus, it'd be to asking in his will. Now, sometimes we don't know what his will is. It does us good to pray and God say, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me to pray. As those disciples said, teach me so that when you pray, you're praying what? Like Jesus did. You know, Jesus, every time he prayed, he got that prayer answered. Every time he prayed. Even when he was in the garden, he got his prayer answered. He said, Lord, if it be thy will. See, he knew what the will of the Father was. He knew what it was. Why did he say that? For us. It was for our admonition. We need to learn that it doesn't make no difference what we want. We need to want what God wants. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But first, your desires has got to be what God's desires are. You let your desires be God's desires, and every time you pray, you'll get your prayer answered with a big Y-E-S. Every time. Because that's God. He's going to do what's right. So if we pray right, we'll always get our prayers, will always be answered. Yes. Whatsoever you ask my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's got to be our reasoning for prayer, is that God be glorified. If you love me, you know why most times we pray is to make our lives easier. I'm just going to tell that. I'm just going to throw it out right now. If we ain't careful, most of our praying is about making my life easier. That don't get it. It's supposed to be to the glory of God. Bible said it's given unto you not only to believe on His name, but to suffer for His sake. That's a gift of God. And God is glorified in the church suffering for Him. And he goes on, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And this is the verse I want you to get hold of, that he may abide with you, how long? Forever. That's what I want us to get. This thing of God's abiding in us. And it's forever. He's here. He's in you. When we gather together and we say, pray God to show up, God's here. If you're saved, God is here. We need to be rending our hearts that He can show out so that people can see that He's here. Not grieving the Spirit of God. You know, grieve not the Spirit of God, or do not quench the Spirit of God. Quit throwing water on it. Amen. Throw fuel on it. If you do anything, throw fuel. Throw the Word of God on it. And say, God, show out. Rend my heart that you can work, move. Make a difference. The Spirit of God abides forever. That's my first point. He abides. He's in us. He's with us. He's never going to leave us. It's forever. The promise of Jesus Christ, and He cannot change and He cannot lie. Praise God for that. Now look down in John 14, 23 through 26. And Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. Grand to say, there are saved people that do not keep themselves in the love of God. And they don't keep God's words. And they're distant, they're cold, they're backslidden. And the Bible said they'd be filled with their own ways. And they're all men most miserable. You take the most miserable man in the world is somebody that's saved and is not listening to what God says. He's going to be miserable. You know why he's miserable? Because the Holy Spirit ain't happy. He's grieved the Spirit of God. And here he is over all the time. How many of you have ever hung out with a guy that's got a bad attitude? Man, all you want to do is get away from him, isn't it? I mean, you try to encourage him. How many's ever done that? You try to encourage somebody, try to give them some encouraging word, try to give them a little bit, you know, tell them about something good, try to get them excited and happy. What do? Like a Eeyore. You know Eeyore, right? Kind of like the old fella come in to church every day and said, preacher, how you doing? So I'm tired. I'm guilty. He come in and said, how you doing? I'm tired. Every Sunday, the same old thing. Finally, one Sunday, the preacher spoke and said, well, I'm tell you what, brother. One of these days, he said, you're going to die. We're going to take you out there and we're going to lay you out here in the graveyard. He said, and you're going to lay out here and rest all you want. He said, be my luck, rapture take place that day and I'll have to get up. That's the way we are sometimes, is it not, huh? He didn't think, praise God, I'm going to get a new glorified body and never going to be tired again. You know, Eeyore. He said, I will pray the Father. Oh, wait, excuse me. I'm 23. Yeah. And he will come unto, Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him. Boy, ain't that good to know? If you keep his words, my Father will love him and make our abode with him. You remember the day when you when you loved towards God? And you saw Him as He was, good. And you wanted Him. I remember that. I remember when that's all I wanted. I remember that day. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. Second thing I want us to get down in our minds is this second phrase right here. The Spirit not only in us, the Spirit, the teacher of the Word of God. He will teach you all things. You got a question? Don't come ask me. I can tell you what I think about it. What difference does it make what I think about it? I mean, it's okay to get men's counsel and talk to them about things, and God can use them, but I'm simply saying, if you're going to start out trying to find out something, I remember I told my wife was, wanting us, taking study a book together, on relationship and getting even closer to, Now, we're not having a bad relationship. I'm just saying, because we want to grow. We want to grow in our relationship one with another. If we're kind of getting at that age, The children are getting out. I still got a couple of them hanging around. But hopefully within a couple months, we're going to be alone, just me and my wife. And we want to spend that time drawing closer in our relationship. And I know this. The only way we can draw closer to one another is by drawing closer unto God. And so she said something about maybe getting a book or something. I said, well, let's pray about it. I said, because I don't want to hear what some man has to say about it. I want to hear what God has to say about it. Then yesterday she asked me, said, I want to know what you meant by that. You didn't want to get no book. No, I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, I didn't say that at all. I said, let's pray about it. Because, God knows a book out there that could be helpful to us and help us, study the Bible and look at this thing. I said, I want to hear what God's got to say. I don't want to hear what some man's got to say about relationships and how to grow closer to God and grow closer to one another. And so, and that's what I'm seeing right here, Only the Spirit of God can do that. He'll teach you all things. He can teach you all things. He can teach you how to be the right kind of daddy. Now this class, He can teach us how to be the right kind of grandpa. Huh? Right? Right kind of husband. Right kind of church member. Amen? Right kind of friend. How to handle our finances. How to plan for the future. What little bit we got left. Amen? Oh, we got eternity. Praise God. One of the things that's on my mind right now, too, is, hey, don't invest so much in this world, because this world, slowly, I'm going to be out of its place. It ain't going to be long. I mean, sometimes, how many of you ever get out of bed and feel like you were a teenager? No, I'm talking about in your mind. I'm not talking about your body. But I'm just saying, just in your mind, you just seem like it was just the other day you was getting out of high school. You get them thoughts and you remember, running through the woods as a little boy. I can't hardly go past a branch without thinking about stomping them things out. Huh? Am I the only one that's crazy, or are any of y'all, the rest of you, have them thoughts? Okay, all right. See, but my future here is getting very limited. There's a whole lot back there, than there is up here, as far as in this world. So whatever I'm going to do, it'd be good to invest in that world to come. I can't do that. I can't do it myself. It's got to be the Spirit of God that's going to do this. And we need to grow, and we need to grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that loveth me not keeps not my sayings. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father has sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, will bring all things to your remembrance. And that's what I was talking about a little bit earlier. We need to remember. The Holy Spirit of God, who will teach us, he will remind us of things. You go over in the book of Revelation, you hear that a lot. Remember, remember, and Jesus said, "Remember, I told you these things." Paul said that quite often to the churches. Remember, remember, remember. But there's only one way we're going to remember. It's through the Spirit of God. He's got to. We can't be grieving him. We can't be quenching him. We got to rend his heart and let him remind us of who we are in God. What God's plans are. Now look at, in John chapter 15, verses 1. He said, "I'm the true vine." "I'm the true vine, my Father is a husbandman, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." I told you wrong. The very first point was that the Spirit is in us. And he will abide with us always, but the Spirit was in us. 15, it deals with his abiding in us. Beginning in chapter 15, said, "I'm the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am in the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. The men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what's going to make the difference in this world. Yeah, I know it's souls too. But you know how souls come? Through the power of the Spirit of God. For he's the Savior. And he wants us to have fruit. He wants that heart rendered. He wants to show out of us. He wants to go out into this world. He wants you to go out into this world in power. With power. With power. With power of the Holy Spirit. We need to let the Spirit of God send us out in this world and be yielded to him. We need to come and do like Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden." He said, "Take my yoke upon you." Get yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we do that through the Spirit of God. And he'll walk with us. That's abiding in him. Boy, when you walk in together, that's something that you got to work at too. You don't do it one time. I'm sure that men like Brother Ernie, who's spent... How long have you been saved now, Brother Ernie? A while. But it's been 40 years? 30, 35? All I know is this. About 60 years. 60 years. 60 years. In those 60 years, you had to work at it, don't you? Yeah. I mean, there's times you'll drift and you begin to forget things. I got saved in 1984. I know there's been seasons when I was really, really, really felt close to God, and I was yielded. I know I was very yielded to him, whatever. Then there's been other seasons I've been kind of willful, maybe even get angry about things, maybe because things were hard. I mean, it was hard. of being tested, being tried, being put in the fire. And it's easy to get, you know what I mean? Sometimes if you ain't careful, you get upset and angry. But you know one thing I knew? Where else? I'm just like a disciple. Where can I go? Huh? I knew the truth. I believed on Him. I knew it was the only way. Boy, you stick it out, and then all of a sudden you say, yeah, it wasn't that bad. I thought it was that bad. It wasn't as hard as I thought it was. I hadn't seen my family taken out and murdered in front of me. You know? I hadn't seen them cast into prison because they served God. I hadn't went through anything like the disciples went, but I thought it was hard. Them little light afflictions. But God, you got something you got to work at. He says right here, and if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, because you're not of the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. Henceforth, the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now, if we abide in the Lord, these are the things that we can expect. If we let the Holy Spirit abide in us and teach us all things. We know that He's in us. We know that He's teaching us, and He's teaching us to abide in Him. That means rest in Him. Let Him have His will and way in our life. And He said these things, if you do that, then you'll bear much fruit of the Spirit of God. You'll have peace and joy. When you abide in the words, when you hear the words, and you study the words, and you get the word in you, and then you obey the words. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in chapter 16. I meant to read down 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, even the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify by me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So the Spirit of God, which is what will cause us to abide in the Lord, He will abide in us. And then we learn to abide in the ways and the truth and in the Word of God. These things have I spoken to you, that you should not be offended. Drop down to 7. Verse 7, chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and in judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So how is it you want to bear these things? Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, the Bible said He will teach us all truth. Okay? So you're going to know the truth. He will teach it to you. But how many of you is going to walk in it? Huh? You're going to walk through this world, and you need a guide. And He will guide you. into all truth. Now, we can know the Word of God and don't let the Word of God abide and dwell in us and really, you know, let it have its way in us. And that's why I think that's the way most of the church is, to be honest with you. We come in on Sunday morning and say, Lord, bless me if you can, you know. Get 4 points in a prayer and go home, go watch the ball game, forget all about it. Till next Sunday, right? And then we'll come back and do our duty. But he said, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to first realize who it is that lives in you. Everywhere you go, he's there. He's with you. He's your very essence and power, and without him, you can do nothing in life. He said, then, I want you to understand. You want to learn anything? Learn it from him. He's the only one that can teach you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get in this book, he can't teach you much. Years ago, I don't know, I was, you know, burdened about my children. I wanted my children to turn out. I wanted them to love God and serve God. And I wanted them to be saved. It was the most important thing to me. I'd have went to hell for my kids. I would have. If there was any way that I could have took their place and kept any amount of hell, I would have volunteered. I believe that was Christ in me. But that desire. And I went and talked to somebody. I went and talked to a friend of mine. I'll tell you who it was. Benny Louder. That's who it was. And I told him, you know, what my burden was. He said, well, David, he said, give the Spirit of God something to work with. He said, the Word. He said, pray the gospel. Every opportunity you get, you let them understand that this is what Christ did for you. And thank him for it. Spend oft times, let them hear you say thanks to God for what he did on the cross for saving your soul. Pray the gospel. Teach the gospel. Give them something to work. Same for us. If we don't hide this book in our heart, if you don't know what's in here, how are you going to remember it? If you haven't read it and studied it. If you haven't read it and studied it and you don't know what's in there, how's he going to teach it to you? You've got to stay in the book. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.